Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. We got a we have a topic today. How do we deal with disappointment? You know, and in the studio with me today is a guy who's never disappointed because he just accepts everything just the way it is.
That's a dream.
That's a dream and probably not the truth. Anyway, I got Tim in the house with me today. Good to have you, brother.
It's great to be here.
You know what? Just so that guys understand, you've been part of this ministry for about 5 years, almost 6 years.
Probably six, yeah.
Yeah. And that ministry would be Band of Brothers for Christ here in Bellingham, Washington. But you're also a middle school teacher for half a lifetime.
Well, as far as the kids go, it's more than a lifetime.
Yes, that's right.
I'm working on second generation kids now in my classroom.
Yeah, but it's been 30-some years, right?
30 done. Working on 31 now.
Okay. You should be retired, sitting back in your easy chair.
That would be disappointing.
And we'll talk about that here momentarily. We're going to be talking about that and how we deal with that sort of thing. But we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of hope for those who are listening. And, you know, just because we don't know when you guys are going to say, hey, I got to go to work, got to get going, got to turn this down or whatever. We want to give you some hope to kind of kick things off with. And anything come to mind on your part, Tim, that you might think a guy would like to or probably needs to hear? Spirit prompt you on anything?
You know, there's a phrase, I was just learning this even just yesterday. There's a phrase in Ephesians that's used like 30 times. Paul says that we are in Christ. And that means we can get out of ourselves and be in Christ and Christ in us. And he says it over and over and over because we need to hear it again and again and again, because that will fuel our whole day and our mindset if we believe it. And I think it's a profound truth.
You know, I believe that there's something that we have that actually some scripture that came up that mentions that same thing about being in Christ, the hope in Christ, and how that and that's just like making a decision, right? I mean, we just have to it's like an attitude adjustment in a sense, right?
It is an attitude adjustment. It's an outlook. It's a focus. What are you focused on, yourself or Christ?
Yeah. Yeah, and when I focus on me, all of a sudden my expectations are way too high. I'll never meet my own expectations. And I can believe the lies that were said to me, not just today or yesterday, but eons ago, it seems like.
Well, unfortunately, we don't forget those as well as we should.
Yeah, yeah. But those are topics for other days. So our encouragement is that you just make that decision in following Christ and seeking him and listening for him. And he does remind us, says, my sheep know my voice. And so the more we get to know him, the better we know his voice. The better we know his voice, maybe the better things are going to be. I don't know.
And better is an interesting term there because it doesn't mean easier, happier, nicer. It means more in Christ, which is the whole goal.
Yes.
Because that is more of the kingdom being released and more of being in his will, and that's all good. But sometimes those are uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
But if it's uncomfortable, I mean, Jesus suffered.
Yes.
But it wasn't disappointing to him because he knew he was in God's will.
Yep, yep. And things would be better, especially for us. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Sitting there going, oh, yeah, he's nodding.
I thought there was another half of that sentence coming.
Well, listen, hey, let's kick right into this topic here on this thing on disappointment. I had texted you last night, yesterday, and I know you had gone to a wedding and everything, but I said, hey, man, let's talk about, just being disappointed, dealing with disappointment. And I thought I'd pull up out of dictionary online here on disappointment. It's the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes and expectations. So they always make it so simple on these things.
Best definition I've heard fits right in with that. It's just unmet expectations.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's exactly part of what I was going to bring up, the fact that expectations, and hopes, is there a difference? I don't know if there's too much of a difference there because they're used in the same definition of disappointment. So pretty much the same, that all of a sudden you lose hope or you don't your expectation is so high. One of the things that I will say this on that I've heard a long, long time ago is that my expectations and my serenity would be the peace of mind,
yes,
and peace of heart in a sense, right? And if you put it like on a
balance scale,
yeah, I call them
teeter-totters.
Yeah, and if my expectations are up high, okay, on people, places, and things, including myself, that means that my value or the way that I look at things is going to be very low, right?
Your serenity, your peace about it.
It's going to be very, very low. When all of a sudden my expectations are lowered, I bring those right on down, my serenity level is going to be much higher and I'm going to feel much better.
And there's so many tensions in the Bible, two things that seem to not fit with each other. Because in our society, and especially in my profession in teaching, we always talk about raising expectations, and people will meet your level of expectation if you raise it, and you don't want to have low expectations of people. But that's not exactly what we're talking about here. And when it's internal in us, our level, our expectations, I think are, I don't know if too high is correct or they're just wrong when they're not godly expectations, when they're my expectations. Because then they become very selfish expectations as opposed to, like we were talking about at the beginning, if it's in His kingdom and His will, it's a good expectation.
Yeah.
And the expectation God has for our lives is really high, just to say.
Yes. Well, one thing that He ends up reminding us in His word is that, hey, in seeking Him, He's got everything covered for us, right? And it's so hard for us to trust even more. I mean, I don't know about you, but I constantly have to ask for, Lord, give me more faith. I think of the one verse of that from the soldier who had mentioned to Jesus, the father, it was about his daughter or son that was going to be healed, right? He said, mm-hmm. Father, I believe. Help me with my unbelief.
Right. Exactly.
And truly, when I've got that, when I feel locked in, so to speak, I all of a sudden feel more at ease because I'm actually trusting in Him completely. That no matter what happens, this is what's going to take place. So that my hope in Him is really, that's the key to it, right?
Oh, it is, absolutely. It's a journey that takes a while to learn how to get our expectations infused with His thoughts and His ideas so they become, our expectations become His. Then the disappointment is going to go out the door. We're not going to have to worry about being disappointed in other people or ourselves because we have godly expectations. But the journey to get there is not a one-day journey, and it's not a half-hour topic.
Right.
It's a lifelong journey of sanctification.
And yet we get these little nuggets from our conversations and relationships with other people who are seeking the same thing. And even those who aren't, that give us that hope of, okay, I'm on the right track and I'm going forward in this one area and everything. Because when we talk about, okay, here we were talking about expectations, okay, and lose and hopes or hope in a sense. But with that is also faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And faith, that is something that we end up, that's what it's all about. We're talking about trust, okay? Trust, faith, hope, right? And then expectations, you know? But we can always have that expectation on Jesus because I think he'll fulfill it every time. The only thing is I get in the way.
Yeah, or we got to expect him. The problem there is if we expect Jesus to do something because it's what we want,
right?
Then he's not going to fail us. Our expectation's just in the wrong
exactly.
thing because we want a certain result. We have a relationship and with a girl and we think that it should go towards marriage and then
right.
it doesn't and we're
right.
disappointed.
Right.
Well, that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
Was that relationship godly? Was it God's will, et cetera? There's a big question mark over that.
But we don't even go there first because we're in charge, right? We're
right.
making decisions. And then all of a sudden I'm going to blame people, places, or things. Oh, it's her mom and dad don't like me, right? Or her children don't care for me, whatever. Whatever the situation is, we always look at other locations or other things to put blame on for not being able to receive what we so desperately desire
mm-hmm.
and say that, oh, this is something that I need, you know? And yet God may be saying, you do, but not yet. You're not ready yet.
Right.
We don't listen to that. At least I should speak for myself. I have not listened to that in the past.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the other word you jumped on there that struck a bell with me was the idea of relationship.
Yes.
In my early marriage, I had some expectations as to how the marriage was going to look, how it was going to work, what my wife was going to do, what I was going to do. And those expectations came from watching my parents.
Yes.
Well, my mom was born in 1920 and my dad in 1921, and their life was a little different than
yes.
mine. And my expectation for I didn't want to marry my mom.
Yes.
But some of my expectations were that my wife was going to become my mom. And by God's grace, that didn't happen.
Yes.
But it took a while for me to allow the situation, you know, it took maturity in the relationship. Mm. And the relationship had to generate trust so that we could communicate with each other. And then the expectation came more in line with who my wife was and who I was and where our relationship was rather than somebody else's defined by, and I couldn't even define it really. I just had this picture vaguely and what I was living wasn't matching it. So I think that piece of relationship is really critical. And then you take it to the next step. How do we get our expectations lined up with Jesus? And it comes back to relationship. It's that communication piece. Are we in his word and trying to get into his way of thinking so that we understand this is how God thinks? My expectation should be focused in where he is.
Well, you know, the one thing is that we have a tendency of course, drifting off into just, and I can only use me. I'm the best example when it comes to failing in this area completely because I kept trying to make things work, okay? And thinking that if I just figure out the next best way of making this work, then it'll be okay because then God will say, it's okay. You finally figured it out. But really, I was just down the wrong path completely because
mm-hmm.
I was the one trying to put things together rather than allowing God in his time to put things together. But see, God's timing was never quick enough for me. Right? He didn't meet my expectations on expediency. I want it yesterday, you know?
Father, I'd like some patience now, please.
Yeah. Or just get rid of this person who I need to practice patience on, right? And that's, how arrogant. That's just the way but that's the nature of my heart. It was all about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about me. And there's something about that, you know, when it comes back down to amazing, here we're talking about disappointments, and now we're going to be talking about selfishness, self-centeredness, because that's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
The two words are the same. In my mind, largely they're the same thing. When my focus is on me and what I want, I'm likely to be disappointed.
And so when, as I was, so I'm walking this path, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm going, wait a minute, here I am. Now I got to talk about me again, as if I've done everything wrong. You know, I've been a nice guy. I've been trying to help people do things. I'm trying to help get them to realize that if they did it this way, it would be so much better. You know, if they only knew. And I should get my script out and make copies so that they can all read what it is that they need to say and do, right?
And how they should respond.
Exactly. Uh-huh. At the right time, of course, you know. And you know what? What a la-la land I was in.
No control issues there.
None whatsoever, you know. I was working my way toward that. But really, it, what it comes down to is an awful lot of this is that we just, our hope is crushed because people don't follow through with what we desire. What sometimes I used to think is I'm not being completely upfront or understandable, right, mm-hmm. to them, that I need to explain. And that's not what they wanted. They just didn't want to hear that because it was like a control thing. But I'm sitting there going, can I talk to you one more time about this? Have you ever done that before? Can we hash this over just one more time? You know, one more time, you know.
Oh, yeah. And you're talking to somebody who spends all day through the school year trying to bang my head up against the wall on certain topics with a whole group. But and it can be very disappointing on my end when I've been ultra clear and things are not coming through. But humans are complex.
Yes. Yes.
Very complex. And no matter what you say and how you say it, it's also going to be heard. And it's going to be heard through a filter and through a lens of personal experience on somebody else's side. And we don't necessarily know what that lens and that all that experience is.
So an awful lot of this, we're talking about being disappointed. And we can come up with lots of excuses or lots of examples, I should say, of being disappointed. And we've all done that. Okay, yes, it may be something to do with our selfishness. It may, yes, I may be a controller. Yes, there might be something that I so desire that nobody else knows about. You know, so I'm being not completely honest in arenas. So, yes, we get that. We get that. But how do we deal with that sort of thing? How do we actually keep from going there? And what are the things that are necessary for us to do to be able to say, hey, you know what? I just want to be able to make this better. Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back from our break. You guys stick around. Stay with us. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back when hearing more of how Tim handles all these disappointments. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments, for an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
Amazing how that coffee can go down the wrong pipe. How many pipes are down my throat there, huh?
You don't want to get into biology.
Okay, there's only one. There's only one pipe. There's a little ones that come off of that, but that's, you know, whatever. Anyway. The opposite of what you said. I don't want to go there into the biology, and here I am going to get, you know.
I was going to say, this is going to be a disappointing conversation. We better get back.
Yes, yes. All right. So we talk about some examples of being disappointed. And I think every guy that's listening, or everybody that's listening, sometimes we have some of the ladies who are listening in too. But when it comes to this for men, because that's primarily who we talk to, okay, we get it, Raul. We get the disappointment. But how do you deal with these disappointments? How do we avoid those type of things? And I think it's every situation is like anything else, has its own personality, mm-hmm. because the faces are different. It may sound the same to other people, but everything is a little unique because of your own relationships or lack of whatever, and your relationship ultimately with God.
So I think that the foundations are similar or the same. There's patterns in it, but the nuances and how it works out are different for each setting. Yeah. Whether it's a job that you didn't get that you applied for, that's very disappointing.
Yep.
There's an expectation, and it didn't get met.
Yeah.
A relationship that falls apart, things that didn't go well at work, a boss with a critical word for you, a wife with a critical word. All these things can be disappointing all along the line, and they're all very different from each other. But the key is when you drill down to the base below that, there's something common in how to deal with it. And whether it's the job, the relationship, et cetera, you know, I threw a rod in my engine, and now all of a sudden I've got huge bills, or I can't fix my prize.
Yes.
Car, and that's very disappointing because I wanted to put it in the parade, or I just like it, or, you know,
yes.
All those kinds of things. The question is, what do you do now? You're here. How do you go forward? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's not like you take off the rearview mirrors. You don't, but over examining and thinking over and over again and trying to replay is not helpful. I need to figure out a little bit about what happened, but I need to move forward. And I need somebody with me to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So you're talking possibly a few things here. You're talking about fellowship?
I'm definitely talking about fellowship and friendship.
Friendship. There's also accountability.
Has to have some of that.
Okay.
And I think they have to go kind of in that order. You have to have some friends that you can fellowship with, which means now it's not just a friendship, but Christ has entered into the relationship also.
Right.
And then from that, we'll build the accountability piece.
So let me just throw this out there, because when you'd mentioned this, these three things that we're talking about, one I think is so important, and Jesus reminds us, God said it in the Old Testament, Jesus says it in the New Testament, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, right?
Everything.
Okay. Do that first and foremost. That should be the very first thing. Because, see, when we have that, now we're going to get, and we're going to wait and receive from God on His timing, mm-hmm. a lot more often than we would if we didn't have Him first, right?
Well, and I think a lot of our disappointments come because He's not first.
Yes.
And
yes.
In this society, that's really hard. I mean, it's you're living day to day, and you're putting bread on the table and doing all your stuff, and learning how to have Christ be first that's a challenge. And I don't think it's possible to do on your own. That demands fellowship and accountability. And so I think our key verse with Band of Brothers for Christ is Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I really believe that I believe there's some truth in that,
yes.
is what I was going to say. But, I mean, it's the Word of God. You know, it's in the Bible. Of course there's truth in it. Yes. But at the same time, it's walked its way out in my life in so many ways that if I don't have somebody keeping me focused on the straight and narrow, so to speak, I can spin off and go in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one, it's so important, and you'd mentioned this before, this is what I heard. When you said about as iron sharpens iron, I get it from another brother who is going down the path that I'm planning on going down too, or maybe I'm behind him, way behind him. But this is a narrow path, okay, that ends up being very cumbersome sometimes and very challenging. And you sit there and you go, okay, here's a brother who's going to kind of lead me, say, hey, look out for this because it's coming up to this turn and it's kind of sharp, and so stay to your left a little bit or whatever, right? You're getting direction and mm-hmm. wisdom from someone who's been there before, okay?
Like a mentor.
Exactly. And when you're doing that sort of thing, when you're following on something like that, especially down a path or somewhere, I mean, who doesn't want to, when you mountain climb, are you a mountain climber?
Hiker, mainly.
Okay. But, well, a hiker's not quite the, in the same, what I'm
There's
saying
no crevasses where I go.
Right, there you go. But someone, if there were, you had to climb a mountain and there wasn't any hiking, wouldn't you want somebody who's been doing that before that can help guide you?
Oh, matter of fact, I have wanted to climb Mount Baker, and I have a friend who's a climber. Because when you have to rope up, and there are pitfalls and there are dangers up there that right. I've never done before, and so I don't want to do it by myself. Or I don't want to be the leader that takes a group into the hole,
right? Exactly.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because that is potentially life-threatening when you get up to those elevations or Mount Rainier or something. But I would love to do it. But, yeah, I want a guide. I want somebody who's been there before.
Right. So let me ask you something. Is it tough to ask for a guide?
There's to me, that's a personality thing in a lot of ways, and it's also a topical thing. It's really easy for me to go to my neighbor and say, I don't know how to fix this engine. The guy was born in a crankcase. I tell you what, he knows.
If his mother were around to hear that.
If you cut his hand, I think he bleeds oil. And he knows him inside and out, and he's just such an expert and a really nice guy. I have no problem asking him about cars.
Right.
Because it's not my area of pride or expertise.
Yes.
And so I do have areas where it's harder to ask, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big key.
So what it comes down to is us being able, in a sense, of asking the Lord for help.
Asking the Lord for help and asking other men for help all are based on relationship.
Yeah.
Honestly, we have a great friendship and great fellowship. And I don't mind asking you for help because I know what you mm-hmm. know about me.
Right.
And I know that if I ask a question, you're not going to change your opinion of me because
right.
I don't know something.
Right. Right.
So without that relationship piece, it's tough to ask mm-hmm. for help. And I think the same thing's true of God. We mm-hmm. have to have that relationship with him to have enough trust
and,
to go there.
And you hit it right there with trust. Okay. Because that means that there's acceptance. Okay. No matter what it is. And we look back and we think about how God so loved us so much that he gave up his son for us. I mean, these are huge things, you know. You know, you go down the Roman road and you start realizing, sitting there through scriptures, realizing just how important it is what had taken place because of who I was and what I had done. And God still loved me no matter what, still had hope in me that I would eventually hear and see and experience mm-hmm. His love, right? And that's really because of what Jesus has done, okay? That we get the opportunity to do what we're doing right here today, to be able to give away what we've received, right? And that's what all of us are called to do in whatever means. This means happens to be on radio, internet radio, but that's a means that God had blessed us with through something else, and all of a sudden now we get the opportunity to say, hey, we're going to get this word out there this way because there are going to be those who are listening and may need to hear some of the things that are shared.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely.
So all of us are called to do that sort of thing, but there's an acceptance that takes place, and that's what I love because, see, I just remember talking last night around the we had the kids over, all family, Chavez Family Sunday, and we had a fire pit in the back, and there's something about a fire. You can get to talking about a few things, and your heart sometimes get expelled into that fire around people. There's a certain trust and belief. And anyway, it's so cool to experience that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's why a lot of people like to talk over food. Somehow there's something going on there where it makes the conversation easier.
Or fire.
Or fire.
But anyway, without doing too far of a rabbit trail, I think it's so important. The fact is that that we can know that we're loved and accepted by people. And the only way of being able to know that is to be around them. Guys have been hurt and disappointed and don't even want to go there with an opportunity of being hurt once again. But this is that relationship with Jesus Christ that in seeking him, he's going to give us everything that we need to be able to deal with these sort of things. We come back. Let's continue talking about these other couple other things that you talked about there, the accountability, and there was another
fellowship.
One. Fellowship. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super-fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. The business class wireless broadband packages offered by StarTouch provide speeds incredibly faster than T1 speeds, from 3 megabytes per second up to 1,000 megabytes. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle, high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Whatever I have to be, I'll be for you. You know, it's funny that she played that because, you know, one of the things that one of my pitfalls, one of my shortcomings, one of my defects of character is people pleasing. And being a people pleaser, boy, I tell you, you are set up for a total disappointment everywhere.
All the time.
All the time. And until you overcome that, or, you know, it's going to just eat you alive. And it has done that. And it still continues, even though I am so much better at not falling into that trap. And yet it still happens. It still happens. Because when I am trying to people please, guess what? I'm going to be disappointed every time.
Yeah, and you're going to end up doing more and more and more.
Exactly. And so what you end up doing is that you eventually get discouraged and say, well, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to take my ball. I'm going to go play with somewhere else with someone else, you know,
and or by myself location,
or doing something completely different. But I'm taking my ball. This is my ball. And just go from there. And that is really what the enemy wants. The enemy wants us. I mean, he's basically at the basis of this thing somewhere along the line. Trying to create disappointment in our life, disillusionment, so we end up being hopeless or feeling hopeless.
And isolated,
yeah.
If we can get disappointed with somebody in the faith especially,
yes,
that it takes us away from church, takes us away from any of our fellowships, then the enemy has us where he wants us.
What's that target? Because out, away from any help.
I don't care how strong you are. If you're going up one-on-one with Satan, you're going to lose.
Yes, every time.
Every time you're going to lose. Yeah. We are not meant for that battle, and even God himself is a perfect relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's relationship within the Godhead himself. He has designed us as relational beings.
Yeah.
And so whenever we break off relationship, we're in trouble.
And I know that a lot of guys are listening. They're saying, you guys are keeping this is way too simple. I mean, it's more complicated than that. You don't understand. That's really what they're, you know, I would be saying. You don't understand some of these people, my relatives or my in-laws or, you know, the people I work with, they, I don't know what it is, but they drive me nuts, you know? Mm-hmm. But is it really them that drives me nuts, or is it my expectation of them or on them that drives me nuts?
And there are really, really hard things. I talked to a man just this month whose wife walked out on him in a terrible way. Yeah. And the expectation for the marriage and his expectations in her and in himself have all been dashed in a huge way.
Yeah.
This is not small stuff.
Yeah.
We know plenty of men who are praying for their children all the time because the children have made horrible choices.
Yeah.
Whether it's drugs and alcohol or lifestyles or whatever. These are disappointments that are not outside of ourselves. They're disappointments that are very much our heart and our soul and our very being in it. We wake up thinking about it. We go to sleep thinking about it. It's all consuming.
But we actually end up so often in trying to change their mind on how they are, right? Trying to get, and that's really what it comes down to, is us attempting to change their mind so they would see the light in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that I say is supposed to be right. What Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Right.
Right? And so really what it comes down to is that it has to be on God's timing, not my timing, right?
And it has to be in God's, I mean, we can't take one verse and live on it. We have to take the whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and get the mindset of God.
What, just, read the whole Bible now, you're saying?
Oh, I know. It's overdoing
it. I'm telling you.
Back to the school teacher thing.
Yes, he's going to ask for a test. You better run, run, run.
But I still think that the solution, besides, you know, every Sunday school kid knows that every answer is Jesus.
Yes, yes.
But going beyond that as to how you work it out in day-to-day, it's back to that friendship, fellowship, accountability piece. And the overarching word over that to me is trust. If I have a relationship that is trusting and full of trust, then accountability can be part of the picture.
Yes.
And I am not trustworthy within only myself to be able to dig myself out of my own holes.
Right. Right.
I need help.
And how do we get that help?
Well, first of all, it goes back to that friendship. Mm-hmm. We need brothers. and we talk about Proverbs 27:17 a bunch. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. But it's not as cotton sharpens cotton, because those would be nice and soft against each other. It's not as, you know, a nice warm hot tub sharpens I don't know what.
Yes.
It's iron against iron. And so what I have to bring to it is a commitment to know that my brother has my best interests in mind, and he's going to do his best to pray and seek godly, God's wisdom, that what he says is going to be for my good. And so I'm not going to run away from this relationship just because he said something harsh to me.
But so often that's where this word trust that you're using, that is something that a lot of guys, and I throw me in there, but I've talked with a lot of men, and trust is such an issue. They may not mention it right at the get-go, but trust is such an issue because we've all been betrayed.
And we've all betrayed somebody else.
And we've all betrayed someone else. So we know both sides of the coin.
Right.
And we sit there and go, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with people. I've been so disappointed, so hurt, and see, not even willing to admit those things, because that's really what needs to be shared. These things that we kept within our own little secret rooms within us, or slid it down underneath a carpet or in our minds, right, that nobody's ever going to see, where there was a disappointment or some pain that had taken place. Now, I'm not talking about having to go in and start digging and find somebody else. No.
This is not psychological counseling 304.
This is just about being able to be with someone else and to be able to trust. I mean, you and I have a relationship that is close, okay? I feel I could probably share. There's nothing that I could not share with you that I believe that would be harmful to me or that I couldn't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen right away.
No.
I mean, we've known each other for a few years, and there's been, you know, little things that take place here and there that you learn each other and you find out, and all of a sudden you realize. And again, it's about knowing somebody. That's why the Lord says, hey, come and know me first. Mm-hmm. You know me first above all things. You know, make me number one. You make me number one, I'm going to show you the way, you know.
And, you know, this, the other aspect to this, not only knowing him, but understanding how he knows us.
Yes.
When one of the big things here is that we talk about when it's selfish on our own part, but part of it is education in that we need to understand how Jesus looks at us.
Yes.
How God the Father actually is almost a better way of saying it. Because if God the Father looks at us through the lens of Jesus' sacrifice, he sees something very, very different than what we see.
Yes.
And one of the biggest pieces of disappointment is when we see ourselves as how we think we look, and we don't see ourselves as through the lens that Christ views us. That's right at the beginning of the program when you asked me for a word of encouragement. I was just reading through Ephesians, and it says the phrase in Christ or in him over and over and over. If we understand that we are in Christ and that God sees us through the lens of Jesus, and of course this is after we have said, Jesus, I want you to live in my heart. My ability to deal with this life is not going to work. I need you. And when we give up to him our sin and our self, then God sees us through him. And if we can get that picture, so much disappointment will be taken away. Or we will, this is actually one of those interesting things. Over and over and over, the Bible says that we need perseverance. That doesn't mean he's going to take the problem away. It means he's going to give us enough strength to walk through it.
You know, there's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Okay? So, I mean, Jeremiah is reminding us, hey, plain and simple, man, this is the way. This is the way we ought to go. Okay, this is where the light is. This is where you're going to be protected. This is where you're going to be taken care of. So this thing on trusting in God, it's a risk. But without risk, there is no growth. If you're not able to say, I can say or attempt to go in a certain direction, it just does not happen. And that was seven of them this time. God bless you, brother. But anyway, the fact is that trusting in God is what it's all about. Those who trust in other things, they end up showing a man goes down a path that he believes to be the right path, and it only leads to death or destruction, depending on the translation, okay?
Yes.
But so we can't trust in ourselves. And then, of course, you know, really that what that comes down to is just my thinking, because my thinking is going to be swayed from my weaknesses and things have gone on in the past.
So it's a matter of belief and faith then. Do I trust God? So, and there's two parts to that at least. Do I understand what God has said and what he thinks about me? And then we have to make a choice. So another Jeremiah verse that is a lot of people's favorites, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Really what this is all boiling down to is hope. Is there hope for the future? Do we have an outlook towards tomorrow that is better than today? And, you know, if we focus on the United States' economy and we look at foreign policy and all the stuff that's going around in the world, even to the fires in eastern Washington or, you know, the nightly news, hope is really hard to find in all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But if we look, it takes effort and time to look to God and see that he has a future for us. He has a plan, and it's a good plan.
Yep. The only way of being able to hear that all the time is in relationship with other men. When you should get together with other guys, go have coffee with them and just call them up. Bring your Bible with you or don't. But in either case, get together with another man that is like-minded and seeking down that same path that you're going down, or maybe he's there ahead of you. But trust that God is putting you together for a reason. Remember, he does trust. He is trustworthy. Would you pray for our brothers today?
In the name of Jesus, we ask that the Holy Spirit would come on and lead men toward the Christ of all creation. And we pray that for all men that are listening and their partners, their accountability partners. In the name of Jesus, amen.